From news across the world to events in your community, hear about it all on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Fabulosity isn't something you can look up in the dictionary, but I can see it through the glass. It's Rob Center, our great producer. He'll take great care of us and make sure that the podcast is populated shortly after our interview this morning. On the news line with us now is Tom Butzler. He's a horticulture educator at Penn State Cooperative Extension Agency up in Clinton County, based out of Lock Haven, but we see him popping up all over the valley, speaking to folks, and also we've seen him around the world on Beekeeping 101, which I think is the only way to describe it would be Penn State's famous beekeeping course. Tom, do you ever take note of how many people have taken Beekeeping 101 over the decades?
Yeah, thanks for having me on this morning, Mark. Yeah, the Beekeeping 101, quite popular. Tens of thousands of people have taken it. You know, over the past 10, 20 years, the interest in beekeeping and other pollinators has really skyrocketed, and people want to know more. And so this is just, you know, an easy way to learn about beekeeping from your home, you know, if you can't get out to one of the local beekeeper meetings. You know, some of the state meetings. So this is a nice way to learn it. Lots of videos, lots of pictures to go with the online course.
Well, my lovely bride and I very much enjoyed it, and our bees were happy for us to have gained the knowledge. And then we went to the Pennsylvania Farm Show. We found out that there's so much more to know and more groups and just a lot more information out there, and it's been just a wonderful hobby. So, yeah, thanks for your part in that. Okay, so let's talk about some things that are coming up. I mentioned the Farm Show. Yep. That'll be early in January. There also is what is known as the Mid-Atlantic Fruit and Vegetable Convention. Now, tell us about that. That's also a big touchstone on the calendar of folks that are involved in agriculture.
Yeah, that's correct, Mark. So, and that's fast approaching. It's towards the end of January that four-day convention takes place. It's held down in Hershey, and thousands of vegetable growers and fruit growers get together every year at that meeting place, just to learn about their craft, their trade. You know, you talk about Beekeeping 101, it's just a continual learning process, and it's no different than our fruit and vegetable growers. You know, there's always new insect issues, or maybe a new fungicide, the control of disease. At this convention, you know, there are several sessions that are geared towards marketing. It's great that you can grow vegetables or you can grow fruits, but do you know how to market that to the public or to wholesalers? So we offer courses and sessions on that, and it's just not fruits and vegetables. This 4-day convention caters towards folks who own farm markets and roadside stands. So we have a session on how to run a farm market bakery, you know, the ins and outs of it, how to work with customers, how to schedule baked goods, things like that. I'm in charge of several sessions. So, for example, I'm in charge of the pumpkin session. And so in that session, we have about five or six different talks. The one session will be on powdery mildew. It's a disease that occurs every year on pumpkins. And unless controlled, it doesn't kill the plants, but it will cause the stems on the pumpkin handles to turn brown. And that's an unmarketable product. So, you know, we talk about ways to manage that disease. We'll have another presentation on biodegradable plastic mulch. Most of our vegetable growers are using mulch as a way to control weeds and do some other things. And disposing of plastic mulch is kind of a pain in the behind. And so there has been great effort over the years to develop a mulch that degrades over time. So we'll have an update on that. Another a topic in that session will be a large pumpkin grower that is involved in agritourism. How does he bring people to the farm and entertain folks that want to get an experience of a farm life? And he centers that experience around pumpkins. So he'll be presenting that to the growers. Growers just love hearing other growers talk. So anyways, there is an online presence of the schedule. And if anyone is interested, you could be a grower or you could be a large backyard garden, it's still, some of that material there is appropriate. And you can check out that schedule. Go online. You can probably put up that link on your radio website. People can kind of peruse through that four-day schedule and see if anything there is of interest. So in addition to all those educational sessions over those 4 days, there is a trade show. And I think the last time I looked, there's about 130 different vendors there that are showcasing tools that are used in vegetable production, because vegetable production is quite different than soybeans or field corn. You know, that's big equipment. Some of this equipment in vegetable production, quite small. I mentioned plastics, the plastics and drip tape that are used in vegetable production. So the trade show is also a great way for farmers to maybe even look at some of the supplies they might need for the upcoming season.
And this, it does have an attraction for folks that just have a small vegetable garden. Answers galore there. So it's definitely made up for lay people, or made for lay people, and it's made for people that might just have one roadside stand. I pass a stand on the way to work that the individual sells honey, and that's their only product that they have out there. Another person up the road has maple syrup. So it depends on, it's for the smaller operator. So this is the Mid-Atlantic Fruit and Vegetable Convention in Hershey. You can just Google that, and you'll be able to find out more about that schedule and your specific schedule. We've heard from the State Department of Agriculture lately about banning certain plants, including burning bush, which we have one on our neighbor's property. I tend to take better care of it. I keep it trimmed back. It spreads like crazy, but burning bush, this is one of the bushes that turns just ultra bright red in the fall. Tell us about these bans on landscape plants.
Yeah, so this is a really interesting topic. So, you know, the ornamental industry over the decades, or actually centuries, there's been an effort to bring new plants into our landscapes just to add some different color and just different themes and so forth. And some of these plants that were brought into our landscapes, at first they kind of, I'm going to put in air quotes, behaved, meaning that they, you know, they did their thing in our landscape, and then winter came, and they went into dormancy, and then they flowered or did whatever in the spring. And that was the end of the story, pretty much. But over time, some of these plants we have incorporated into our landscapes have escaped or gone out into our naturalized areas. So you could go to some of our state forests and some of our state parks and so forth, and you can see some of these landscape plants that we have in our backyards also in these forested settings. So you mentioned three of them, the calorie or ornamental pear, the barberry, and the burning bush. You can see these just walking the forest trails. And you know, the biggest problem with that is they're crowding out our natural vegetation. And the concern is, Mark, that when you go through Penn's woods, maybe 10, 20, 30 years from now, it's going to be totally unrecognizable to what Penn's woods was a couple decades ago. As this, you get this shift from our kind of our native plants to more of these invasive plants. And, you know, however you want to look at it, whether, you know, they evolved together or recreated together, these our animals, our pollinators, have this intimate relationship with these native plants. And if these native plants are pushed out, our animals, birds, pollinators are going to be in a little bit of a bind without, you know, this intimate relationship with these native plants. So, yeah, that's the big concern there. Now, the ban is that these nurseries and landscape companies won't be able to sell these ornamental plants in the future. It's a slow transition. It's just not taking place today. But eventually, in a couple years, you can no longer sell these, and the customers will no longer be able to buy these. Now, the ban does not tell you that in your neighbor's backyard, that burning bush has to be removed. There is encouragement on that, Mark, that, you know, because there are some detrimental effects to these invasive plants, you might want to think about moving it, removing it, but that's up to you.
Well, and well, it's hers. She tried to cut it down to zero one time, took it down to the ground, and I think she thought that was the end of it the next year. It looked almost the same when it came up. It was almost as big, and certainly now 3 years later, it's as big as it ever was. And it's
they are hardy. You're right.
Right, yeah. They, it was almost wasn't even a setback for it. It came back fine. Let's see. How about winter education from Penn State? You got a lot of different courses. I mentioned the beekeeping, but that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, so, you know, there's not a lot that we can do outside right now as extension educators, and our farming community is not really doing a lot outside. So it's really the season where we gear up towards some of our educational opportunities. So, of course, the Mid-Atlantic Fruit and Vegetable Conference is a big opportunity, but there are a variety of smaller meetings and conferences geared towards vegetable growers throughout the state. So, for example, up in Sugar Valley, Nipponose area, I have a small vegetable meeting for the produce growers that feed the auction up there. You know, I have one up in Jefferson County, but those are the ones I work with, but they're scattered across the state. So, you know, for those folks that can't, you know, spend a whole day down in Hershey, there are other opportunities. Now, that's around the vegetable industry, but there's equal opportunities for folks in the landscaping industry. So, for example, down in the Lewisburg area, in late winter, I'll have a turf and ornamental conference for those green industry professionals that need to maintain their pesticide license. We'll put on a full-day conference on a wide variety of educational topics. So, again, that's just something I'm involved in. But, you know, there are other horticulture educators just like me throughout the state of Pennsylvania that are doing equal educational opportunities. So if anyone, you know, is interested, you can get online to Penn State Extension and find where these winter meetings are taking place.
And the website for folks.
And of course, there's also a lot of master gardener opportunities. So for those backyard gardeners or folks who just want some information on their landscape, they put on a wealth of educational classes. So again, those are you can view those online at Penn State Extension.
And the website, I always think of psu.edu. What's the extension you want folks to go to?
Yeah, you can do that. Penn State Extension. Just type that into Google, and that'll be the first thing that comes up are some of those offerings.
Fantastic. One of our good listeners sends a note, says, after raking leaves, I have a lot of bare dirt in the garden. Can I do fall mulching? We're still above freezing pretty consistently, and obviously no snow in the on the ground at this moment.
Yeah. So, you know, when you talk about gardening, you really don't want bare soil. And so earlier in the season, I would encourage your listener to maybe put in a cover crop. But at this point, it's getting kind of late. Just that soil's too cold. You're not going to get good germination and a good growth. So you would want to cover that bare soil. And for some of my garden where I just can't get the cover crop in because I have got some cold crops, some of those cold season crops, I will put down a layer of leaves. You know, I've got a lot of trees in the yard, and I just rake up those leaves, and I put a couple inches of leaves across that whole bed, and then I just use that to protect that that exposed soil. And it just decomposes over the winter, and then come spring when you need to work the soil a little bit, it's ready to go.
Ready to take care of. All right. Well, thank you so much, Tom. We really appreciate your updates. We'll talk to you or one of your peers in January. We'll have to discuss getting rid of Christmas trees on the topic, but the farm show will be just about underway at that point, too, so we can mention that, but we'll do that next month. Thank you so much, Tom. Thanks for all your updates.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
Much appreciated. That is Tom Butzler. He is from Penn State University. He's a horticulture educator at Penn State Cooperative Extension in Union County. Just Google Penn State Extension, and that will connect you with all of the things and the information he talked about.